The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is written in 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 3. "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you. Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, there are a lot of funerals going on today, As I was exiting SFO last night, I was walking with a man who'd just flown here from Honolulu and was going to Rockland to attend his uncle's funeral. In fact, there's about 5,500 other funerals today in the U.S. alone, adding up to about 2 million a year. That's a lot of funerals. That's a lot of dying. A lot of tears. A lot of burying and final words and hopelessness. Multiplied thousands of times over. Family after family. You know it. And I know it. Because that's one of the reasons that we gather together as the body of Christ. As we practice the art of dying well. Very practical Christianity. Not just living well. Certainly not living the good life in the way that the world sees it, with success and perfection. But the art of dying. Dying daily. Dying to sin and rising a saint. Dying to self and living for Christ. Living for your neighbor who is Christ in the world. And it hits us all, like it hits me too, this week as I care for those who are dying, as I mourn friends who have not passed away, a terrible and faithless euphemism, but who have gone on to be with the Lord, who have fallen asleep in Christ, who have died, like my friend Donna from St. Paul's Pomona, who died a few weeks ago. Very practical Christianity starts here in the word of the Lord today, Luke chapter 7. It's about dying, burial, death, a funeral. Think back to the last funeral that you were at. Maybe it was quite recent, a member here at Grace San Mateo, or a family member, a friend, a loved one. Out of the thousands of funerals going on every day, it would be difficult for anyone, especially someone looking at it from the outside, to think that there was anything particularly special about that one. But for those who die in Christ, there is something unique. And that's at least part of what the Word of God is telling you today. Here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, starting at verse 11, there's another funeral. All the town processing with the bier, a widow trailing behind her dead son, the eldest and last of her children. All the mourners walking with her like a funeral parade in New Orleans. Don't think that just because this town was smaller, that there were fewer people per capita dying in the ancient world of 2,000 years ago. There were lots of blind people in Jesus' day, but we only hear about a couple who got healed. Lots of deaf people, lots of other handicaps, but we only hear of a couple being restored. And so it is with the story of the widow's son at Nain. Lots of funerals in Galilee that day. But this one's different. Different because Jesus is there. He raised that son from the dead, and he gave a mother back her son. The story of Jesus in that episode was not written so that you might think that Jesus came to earth to interrupt every funeral that ever happened. But he interrupted that one to point forward to his own after he'd suffered and died on the cross, to die the same death that everyone dies, the same death that many of my friends have died and are about to in the coming weeks and months. The same death that you will die today. Tomorrow? Soon enough. That story is written so that you can know that someone who went through the same death is no longer dead, but alive. And Jesus will interrupt every funeral at a day soon to come with the blast of a trumpet and the roll call from heaven, from the book of life, sending you to everlasting judgment or everlasting life. Life for those who trust the promise of Jesus Christ. This is the promise that you hear at the funeral of your loved one, that this funeral will be interrupted, if not today, then tomorrow, or soon enough. And that's a promise that you know as a baptized child of God. Baptized people are sinners, and baptized people are saints. They're sinners and saints wrapped up into one. You don't need to know how many kind acts a dead person did, because they're dead now, and those great works that they did don't do them a lick of good anymore. But you do need to know the one who makes promises to dead people. You need to know Jesus Christ. The one who came back from the dead to prove his promise true. What promise is that? The promise that he made to Thomas and Peter and James and John, as we hear in John 14 and we hear in so many funerals. I go to prepare a place for you, a place of salvation and everlasting life. If it were not so, I would have told you, and you know the way to where I'm going. I am the way and the truth and the life. And that's what makes this funeral inane in Luke chapter 7 so extraordinary. A funeral interrupted. Let's hear just a bit more about how Jesus restores things from death to life right here. Because Jesus is the one who's at the center of this text. And Jesus is the one who's at the center of the resurrection of a son and a restoration of a son to his mother. And just as Jesus is at the center of your impending resurrection, a restoration to life, so Jesus shows that he is the center because of his own resurrection, fulfilling the law in his death, fulfilling the law even as he was dying. And that's the gospel for today, how Jesus fulfills and restores for you. Jesus goes to Nain, accompanied by a large crowd. Just as the casket is coming with the corpse in it, this poor woman, the widow, whose only source of security for her old age may be the man who is now this corpse, her son, whom she is now mourning, another prophet, and more than a prophet, Jesus, who would later cry in front of his own friend Lazarus's tomb, understands her tears, but says, "Stop your weeping." He touches the bier, as he is the Lord of heaven and earth over life and death, needing no prayer at all, and says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Speaking directly to the corpse, the corpse becomes animated once again, and the young man sits up. But listen to Luke's text. He doesn't want you to get away without hearing that Jesus gave back the son to his mother. The words of the text, gave back the son to his mother. It sounds like another prophet from 1 Kings 17, the one who prayed over the sun, prayed to the Lord, and the sun woke up. And Elijah talks to that widow at Zarephath and gives back, restores the son to the mother. It makes you think that the Lord himself cares about children and parents, cares about the fourth commandment, you will honor your father and mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise and anger our parents and other authorities or our teachers or our principals, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Does the Lord care about sons and mothers? Care about his command? Care about his law? God gave back the son to his mother. Does God care about mothers that much? Could it be, perhaps, that he expects his creation to follow the command, honor your father and mother? Because it's in his own character to follow that command, to honor that relationship between father and mother and son and daughter, the basic family unit necessary for survival for these people who are used to poverty, used to hunger, used to how tenuous a hold we have on this mortal life, used finally to the ever closer, ever present, ever more devastating reality of death, where we have to say goodbye to mothers and fathers. Or worse, say goodbye to our sons and our daughters. Did Jesus honor his mother? One last story. 90 miles south of Zarephath or Galilee, a year or two later, another troubler of Israel has come to town. No Elijah this time, but he's sentenced by the kings of his time, Herod, Pontius Pilate. His words are not honored as true. Even those around his bier are dishonoring his words. Come down from that cross. Save yourself. Around him is a considerable crowd, but two stand out. A woman, for all we know, a widow, whose only source of security in her old age may be her son, a woman, and the disciple that Jesus loved. And he looks at his mother. Woman, he says. Again, that term, just as he'd addressed her in John chapter 2. Woman, not a term of disrespect here. Woman, the same title he'd used before his hour had come. Woman, he says, poor woman, poor widow, whose only source of security for your old age may be your son. Woman, whose faith, tenuous as it may be, is now hanging on this son who is hanging on an executioner's cross. Woman, look, here is your son now. Take John. Disciple, friend, son, behold your mother. He gave back a son to his mother. Even in the midst of death, his death, fulfilling commands, even in the midst of that death, our Lord puts back what's right. Restores what's just, puts back what's right to give life and new life to that primary picture of family life, sons and mothers, fathers and daughters. Does our Lord think the commandment is important? Does he honor father and mother? When he fulfills the law, it's not in some abstract sense, it's in very real details, and he does it for Mary. And he does it for John. And he does it for you. Dear friend in Christ, I don't dwell on this picture to make you think, well, now we should all follow Christ's example. Although an example it surely is, of holy honor, of holy restoration, of life in the midst of death, of love in response to betrayal and murder and disbelief, an example of honoring, serving and obeying, loving and cherishing. But no less is it an object for our faith, something to receive, something to hold on tightly to. A real history for us to cling to as we examine ourselves and our sin. You will keep the command to honor your father and mother, your parents and all those in authority, and you will fall short. You will sin. And when you do, when you sin, where will you turn to find an answer? An advocate when you deserve punishment. Another chance. New life, in fact, when death and punishment are staring you in the face because of your sinful choices, because of your sinfulness. When you cannot fulfill God's laws because you cannot fulfill the commandments, to what will you cling? Cling to this. Christ, our Lord, died and is risen. And the death he died pardons your sin. His death counts in God's eyes as a sufficient covering for your fall because he is not a sheep or a goat or a bull or a pigeon or a grain offering or an offering in the plate that will pass around shortly or an offering of your own good works or insufficient obedience. His offering is the offering of the perfect man, a man who kept the law perfectly for you, even when it meant giving a mother back her son. Trust that story and all the stories of Jesus, the histories. He has delivered them to you in his holy word to trust them. A prophet who restored a widow her son. A prophet and more than a prophet, a holy son who took care of his own mother, and even our gospel today, the widow, who heard the master gently comfort her in name with the words, the comforting words that you get to hear today. Stop your weeping. Jesus has come to restore you. Life has come to this woman. Life has come to this world. Dear friend in Christ, life has come to you because of the God-man, Jesus Christ, the one who came to fulfill the laws that we cannot keep, to restore the lives that we cannot preserve, to heal the relationships that we can't hold on to, that we can't help but break, to save the world. And to save you, the Lord honors mothers and sons and fathers and daughters. He fulfills the law for you. And one more thing, the resurrection of the widow's son points especially to the day when you will be raised up, when all lives will be restored, when you will be restored to a life forever with him. Trust in Jesus, the Lord of life from death, who will raise you up and all saints with him. In Jesus' name, amen.